Acts chapter 27.
Last week we talked about having confidence and calm in times of crisis. And in Acts chapter 27, it's when Paul was on his way to Rome and the ship that he was in ran into a storm. And so the storms are being likened to a crisis in our own life. Psalm writer just wrote about that, a shelter in the time of storms. Not speaking literally of a thunderstorm or a hurricane, but rather of the storms of life. We saw that there's three kinds of storms. Storms that we bring on ourselves, like Samson brought on himself. Self-induced problems. The storms that God causes or permits, like Job or the disciples when they were on the Sea of Galilee. And also we saw storms that other people caused, such as Paul and Silas had when they were thrown in jail in Philippi. It was caused by other people, and so there's things that happen to us that are caused by other people. Storms, troubles, they don't play favorites. They come to every one of us, and we need to deal with them when they come. Some three common reasons why we get ourselves in a mess, and remember, I'm only going to restate these, I'm not going to re-preach them. Wrong guidance, sometimes we get wrong guidance from experts, you know, people who are supposed to know, and they just don't always know, and especially as a Christian, they are not able to take into account all that the Lord would be aware of for us. And then wrong guidance from a vote, we might say, you know, majority rules kind of thing. Now, majority ruling within a group is a good procedure to follow, okay, otherwise you can end up with pandemonium. But the point is, not always is the majority right. In Acts chapter 27, verse 11 and 12, when Paul advised to not leave the port of the little town called Fair Havens, centurion believed the master, it says verse 11, and the owner of the ship, and so they left, and so they'd have been better off to listen to Paul. Now, you remember 12 spies were sent into Canaan to spy the land out. 10 of them were against going in, and they were wrong. The two that said we should go in, God told us to take the land, they were the ones that were correct. And so 40 years later, after wandering around, they ended up doing what God said. And of course, well, how do you know, if majority or an exceptional kind of situation? And the basis must be the Word of God. That's the key in any of these. Same way with something an expert says, you know, somebody that has a lot of experience in something, you know, it behooves a person to consider their experience. Like, you know, if I hope this doesn't happen. But if I go out after the service, get my truck, and it won't start, okay? now, you know, we can, you know, look at somebody that's a mechanic, and they can say what they think it is that's wrong with it. They'd be an expert. But then along comes somebody else who can maybe talk more convincingly. And you might be able to say something like, well, you know, I had this same problem myself, and I believe it was the water was gone in your windshield washer fluid. Okay, now, you know, there's good times to listen to experts. But when it comes to the Christian life and the crises that we experience and face, just because somebody's an expert doesn't make it right. It needs to coincide with the Word of God. And then the third thing was wrong guidance from circumstances. And I think this is probably the biggest one that gets us in trouble, because we will try to read circumstances. And it's an amazing thing how when you want something bad enough, things that happen, circumstances that come along, you can read them many different ways. And when you want something, you can read that circumstance in a way that supports you. That was also the one that I had said, that we must be sure not to push ahead. When God closes a door, it's not good to try to force it open. You know, now God may want to see if we're going to persevere with something, and therefore to continue to try is not wrong, but there's a difference between just trying again and pushing that door open. You know, we use this analogy quite frequently in the Christian life, and that is God opens doors and he closes doors, and I believe he does. But just like circumstances, you got to be careful about reading them, because the devil can open a door too. You say, oh, no, I know if it's the devil or if it's God. Well, here we go back to what we're saying. It's got to agree with the Word of God. And here's where counsel from other people can be a help in their understanding. Because you see, a lot of times other people don't have the emotional involvement with something that we ourselves would have. And that emotional involvement we can have with something can cause us to read circumstances in ways that isn't always beneficial. And therefore, counsel is a good idea. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors. So what that tells me there is that you don't just go to one person that you think probably going to say what you want to hear anyway, okay, and then try to satisfy your conscience, well, I got counsel on it. And so, you know, you talk to different people coming from different approaches and angles. So those are the three common causes of difficulties in handling crisis and having calm. What I'm going to look at now is three typical reactions to crisis. And this again, we're looking at this experience that the Apostle Paul had. And I'm not saying that the interpretation of this experience is what I'm saying. I'm looking at this experience that they had and taking out of it, as if you want, an illustration for things that we face, okay? And so the first thing, by way of a typical reaction to crisis, is in verse 15, now we're in Acts 27, verse 15 and 17. Verse 15 says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Verse 17, "Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven." The first thing that we tend to do, now let me change it. One of the common things that someone can tend to do when they meet a crisis is to let our life drift. And just like here, you see, the ship did drift, you know? The winds were hard, they did strike the sail. Now that's interesting. I believe what it says there, they did strike the sail. I believe that whatever that means, it involved the sail. Not just the mast, okay, of the ship or other parts of the ship. Because when you read this whole passage in detail, which my purpose isn't to expound the passage, I'm dealing with the subject of calm and confidence in crisis. Now, here's a passage that shows us some ways that we can handle crisis. Well, what they did was they let the ship drift. And too often when we run into problems, we'll let go of our goals. We'll let go of our purposes.
Come on.
The things we were living for, we just leave it, you know, and we set out in a different direction. We forget our values. And that's no help. In daily living, when a storm comes, we may not be able to see and hear directions, and so we may just, you know, well, there's some things that, you know, I used to do, but I don't do all of them anymore. And listen, keep doing right. When you run into a crisis, you don't know what way to go, you don't know what direction to go, keep doing right. Keep doing right. Don't stop doing right. And along with that is don't discard the things of value in your life, the relationships that you have with people, the friends that you have, the involvements that you have. For us as Christians from this church, it would involve the church. You don't drift. You don't say, well, you know, I think I'm going to lay out of church this morning, or, you know, like Wednesday night. Well, you know, it's really windy out there. I might get blown away between the church and my vehicle. I better stay home, be safe. Well, now, obviously, I'm saying that humorously, ridiculously, but it's just surprising how many people do that. They run into a crisis in life. They don't know what direction to go. And so they just back off of the very things that have been helpful to them. And so don't do that. Don't give up the tried and proven and purposeful goals that you have and have lived by. And so many times we can become impulsive. Something must be wrong. You know, I've lived my life by these standards. I've lived my life by these principles, and nothing seems to be going right. Must be something wrong with my standards. No, listen, if you've got principles that you live by that are based on the Word of God, and when things don't go right, don't give up your principles.
That's right. Yep. Come on.
Okay? Just stay with it. You say, well, but life, it's not, I've got all these problems. I'm not living something right. Yeah, Job could have said the same thing, but he wouldn't have ended up with all the blessings that God gave him.
That's right.
You say, yeah, but Louis had to lose all his family, you lose your kids, you had to lose everything that he had. And yeah, then God gave him double. Listen, do you think Christians are the only ones that have problems? You see, unsaved family members you have, unsaved co-workers, unsaved neighbors, they all have problems. Listen, a lot of the problems we have in life have nothing to do with us being a Christian. They have everything to do with us being a person. Life has problems. And definitely one thing you don't want to do . Boy, I've lived for God and I've served God, and now I've got this problem. Why did God let me have this problem? I've been faithful to Him, and I've tried to do everything He wants me to do, and now I've got this problem. Do you know what that line of reasoning is? That line of reasoning is blaming God for the problem.
You've got it, yes, sir.
And God is not the source of our problem. 9 times out of 10, we are. But if He lets something come into our life, it's because through that thing, He wants to give us something or take us someplace better. Besides that, as I said, your neighbors, your co-workers, your cousins, your aunts and uncles and whoever, they have problems too. But somehow, Christians can get to that point of just pitying themselves so bad. Okay? And I've been such a good Christian. Well, maybe the person hasn't been as good a Christian as they think if they're going to start down that road of reasoning. You say, oh yeah, but they were at church all the time, and they did this, and they did that. Yeah, I go in the garage, and that doesn't make me a mechanic. I can sit in a big semi-truck like Bob used to drive. That is going to make me a driver. So coming to church doesn't make somebody a good Christian. You say, well, then why bother coming? Because you love God.
Amen.
Now, through the word that we hear when we're here, that's what can make us a good Christian. But just coming doesn't. As a matter of fact, tonight, if you'd have stayed home, it probably would have made you warmer. Okay? But you did. You came because you have learned a certain level of commitment to the Lord and of obedience to Him, and that's what's prompted you against the inconvenience and discomfort of a wintry night to come. So, yeah, that and my wife.
Yeah.
Okay, you thank the Lord then that you have a wife that cares enough about you and would remind you of that. Oh yeah, don't abandon the goals and the standards that you have. And then the third thing is, don't despair. Okay, look at verse 20. And we're still in chapter 27 of Acts. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. In extreme crisis, I mean, they didn't see the sun and I'm trying to think, did I read how many days it was that they didn't see the sun or the moon? It was days and days and days that they didn't see. It was an extreme situation. And sometimes we get in extreme crisis and we get to the point of despair. Don't give up hope. When a person loses hope, now I'm not trying to be humorous here, okay? But when a person loses hope, they have no hope. When we don't have hope, we're done. Because that is the main motivation for us to move forward. And so, we cannot allow ourselves to get to the place for what's the use? What's the use? Why bother? The last thing that we throw out, like they threw different things out of this ship to try to keep it from going under. And I see here now, I got down 14 days the sailors were in total darkness. Now, I don't remember if I read that in the passage.
Verse 33.
Verse 33, okay, thank you. I knew I had it there for a reason. Verse 33, 14 days. Can you imagine that? 14 days with no sun, no moon, no stars, just blackness. That would be a point of despair. And there are some situations in life, and I in no way want to infer that we just grab ourselves by the bootstraps and, you know, just get hold of yourself. Don't allow yourself to. Listen, if you get to a point where you begin to despair, all that's involved in your life has you at that point. So if you could just slap yourself and make yourself think different, you wouldn't be there. I mean, things are dark when a person gets to despair. Psalms coming to mind. Dark, the despair, sea waves threaten the soul. There's a song we sing that's got despair in it. And I cannot, well, that's all that's coming to mind. But there is a hymn that we sing that talks about being threatened and being in despair. And when we get to that point, that's when we have to go back where we don't discard what we've had. We keep praying. We keep going to the scriptures. That's when we need to call a friend. Everybody should have two or three really good friends that they could call and they could ask them to pray for them. And you know, and even if you can't express it, just look, I'm in a serious condition and I need prayer. Please pray for me. You know, it's but we dare not allow ourselves to be in despair. And what's the use? There's no hope. This is an impossible situation. What's the Bible say? With God, what? Nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Yeah, nothing is impossible with Him. And so we're going to end with that and go to prayer. I have one more night where we'll talk about the matter of calm and confidence in crisis.